This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Spending your morning in the club. I like this. Today's theme music, as selected by producer Jed Marshall, is funky. That's what we're going to try to do today. Talking college basketball, Sporting KC, Chiefs, Royals. Just about everything else we can think of. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter as we broadcast live from the Rally House Studios. By the way, the hat that we saw last week is still on the Rally House mannequin that's here in the studio, the mannequin that scares the bejesus out of me. If I'm not paying attention, I turn around and think somebody's standing there, but the hat is still on. It's still very cool. It has not disappeared, but I haven't got one yet, but...
You're the only one who would take it. You just keep talking about it, man.
Well, I'm not going to take it because I would still like to keep working here at Sports Radio 810 WHB and Union Broadcasting. And that's a good way to get invited not to do work for somebody, is to take something that doesn't belong to you. That's a good. But you know what? Now, if somebody takes it, I'm going to be accused of it because I've been talking about it. And there's internal investigations that go on here. Somebody was stealing Danny Klinkscale's... What was he drinking? Coke Zero?
Coke Zero.
Coke Zero. Somebody was stealing it out of the refrigerator. And
yeah,
then
that case is still unsolved.
Unsolved?
Yeah.
CSI Union Broadcasting. Somebody put a half-full can back in the refrigerator, I think. So
gross.
No, I buy my cans out of the machine here. I got a Diet Dr. Pepper going here. And so I don't take anybody else's. And I refill the ice trays, by the way.
Yeah.
When I use ice for a drink, I refill the ice trays here.
I think everyone does, at least that I've talked to. I think I've narrowed down who does not.
Who does not? Okay. Well, I do know, God, it sounds like I'm bragging, but might as well. Might as well. When I work on Sundays, which we will tomorrow, we'll be doing another show tomorrow from 9 to noon. Before I leave the studio on Sunday, I make sure that bowl of ice in the freezer is full. So the guys, so Steven and Nate and Jake and all the guys here in the morning have a nice selection of ice.
Fast Talking Rob brings his KU mug, and he loads it up with ice, so I know he appreciates that.
Okay, well, there you go. Just something little that I tried. I probably shouldn't have said anything. It's because it's one of those deeds that if you do a good deed, don't talk about it. Just know that you did it.
No, brag it up so people know
that
you're a good person.
I refill the ice bucket here at Union Broadcasting. All right. If you'd rather talk sports than ice buckets, we're going to do that right now. The breaking news last hour, and our streak, by the way, on weekends, it's hard sometimes to get breaking news. It's a slow day. There's nothing. I mean, the Royals are in spring training. The Chiefs are in the offseason. KU, Missouri, K-State, UMKC are all playing later today. So sometimes it's hard to generate something hot to talk about. And we're on about a four-week stretch now of having hot stories break on the weekends. And the hot story today, maybe it's not a hot story, but it is breaking news. Michael Porter Jr., will not play for Missouri today. They are hosting Arkansas at, believe it, 5 o'clock down in Columbia. So no Michael Porter Jr. today. So Stephen St. John from the Border Patrol will be very disappointed. And joining us with more on this breaking news is Brandon Kiley from 101 ESPN in St. Louis. First of all, Brandon, do you refill the ice trays at your office?
I do not, because we just have this big chamber of ice that continually makes ice.
There we go.
I do get in trouble from time to time for not doing so at home, but I try to do my best. You know how it is.
Yes, you have to do the little things here and there. All right, so the breaking story, I mean, literally just it came out, what, 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, University of Missouri put out a statement from Michael Porter Jr. saying he's worked hard to get himself back into playing form after the injury earlier this year. But between himself and the coaching staff, they don't feel that he should be playing today against Arkansas. So there is the breaking news. Did you have a notion that this decision was going to come out this early? Did you think it'd be game time, or did you think he might actually play?
So I'm glad they did this, and
okay.
Here's the reason why. Tonight is senior night, and if any seniors from Mizzou deserve to go out on a high note and deserve to have this night headlined by them in their performances, it's Cassius Robertson and Jordan Barnett. Because without those two guys, and specifically Cassius, this team wouldn't be going to the NCAA tournament. I mean, with what they've gone through this year, losing the number one prospect in the country, losing every point guard on the roster seemingly, and still making it to the NCAA tournament, I'm glad that it came out now. So everybody can write their stories about it. Everybody can talk about it before the game. But 5 o'clock, come 5 o'clock this afternoon, this evening, it's going to be about Cassius Robertson and Jordan Barnett. And I think that's a good thing for Mizzou.
I do think that's an important thing on senior night, that those guys get the attention. And now that Missouri has come out with this early in the morning to make sure that the there's no buildup for it. The networks know, the radio guys know, the newspaper guys know. We're talking with Brandon Kiley, 101 ESPN in St. Louis. Follow him on Twitter, at BK Sports Talk. All right, so now this decision is out there. Michael Porter Jr. not playing today against Arkansas. The next discussion, and Michael Porter Jr. said in the printed release from the university, let me find it here, the plan is to keep working with an eye on potentially playing at the SEC tournament and helping our squad be successful in the postseason. The SEC tournament is next week in St. Louis. So this story still has legs and will still be discussed through next week.
Yeah, because of course it will, right?
Right. Until he actually plays, yeah.
Yeah, and it should be. Like, he's one of the best players in the country, and when you have that guy on your bench and he can't play, it'd be really exciting to watch him play. Anybody who told you over the last week that they knew exactly what was going to happen with Michael Porter Jr. was frankly lying, and that's going to continue to be the case next week and the week after if he's not playing yet. Nobody knows, and I think that includes Konzo Martin. I think that includes the other assistants on the staff not named Michael Porter Sr. I think that includes a lot of his teammates, if not all of his teammates. Nobody knows when this kid's going to play, and it's frustrating for fans, and I totally get the angst of, hold on, we have this kid who seems to be ready. He's cleared medically. Why isn't he playing? I get it, but he's coming back from back surgery, and these things are tricky. He's had, I think it's 4 practices now under his belt since he got cleared to come back. It's a tough thing, and the decision's ultimately going to be made by him and his family. That was reported earlier this week by Jeff Goodman of ESPN, and that was my expectation all along. Will he play for Missouri? I don't know. And anybody who tells you otherwise is lying right now. So hopefully it's next week. Maybe it'll be the week after at the NCAA tournament. But right now, nobody knows when he's going to play or if he's going to play in a Mizzou uniform.
All right, we're talking with Brandon Kiley, 101 ESPN in St. Louis. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. We're talking about Michael Porter Jr. and the announcement that came out just minutes ago. He will not play versus Arkansas tonight, 5 o'clock in Columbia. Packed house. I believe it's already sold out, if I'm not mistaken. So Mizzou will do what they have done all season and play without him. And the last game against Vanderbilt, fantastic performance by Jonte Porter after he had a couple of off nights. But he's shown tremendous growth this season for a kid who should still be a senior in high school, right? Tremendous growth.
He's been really good lately. And he's the type of kid who, when he plays well, it just impacts every part of your team because he can play well defensively. He's really good from outside on the perimeter, and we saw that part of his game against Vanderbilt. I think his most underrated skill is his passing. Like, he's probably Missouri's best passer on the roster, and when he's finding open lanes and he's able to hit his shot and find other guys, it opens everything up for Mizzou's offense, and that's when they're at their best, is when he's making his shot, he's playing aggressive, he's playing with confidence, and he's able to find others as well. He really is kind of the secret sauce that makes Mizzou's offense go when he's on.
And Jonte, in that game against Vanderbilt, 24 points, absolutely nails, going 9 of 10 from the floor, perfect from downtown, 4 of 4, made both of his free throws, pulled down 7 rebounds, and as you mentioned, the passing, 6 assists versus just 2 turnovers. And we always, you know, the sexy stats are the points and the field goal percentage and the three-pointers. Those are the sexy stats. The assists are not sexy. But when your guy who scores 24 points also dishes out 6 assists, that's a pretty strong offensive machine running right now.
It is. And when he, like I said, when he's on, he's the type of guy that can get this offense going. And the other thing about him in the distributing, this team doesn't have a point guard, really. Like, Jordan Geist is playing point guard technically, but he's more of a combo guard. That's not necessarily what his true position is. So when you have a 4 who can come out and distribute the way he can, it alleviates a lot of the pressure from Jordan Geist. It alleviates some of the pressure from Cassius Robertson having to go over to the point for 5 or 6 minutes a game to be able to be that guy that brings everything up and distributes the offense as opposed to him catching and shooting. It makes everybody else's job a little easier when Jonte Porter can stand at the top of the key and he can make the decisions that a point guard typically would. And that's what we saw on Tuesday night against Vandy. Hopefully we can see that again tonight against Arkansas. This is just it's a tough style for Mizzou to go up against because of the way that Arkansas plays and the pressure that they put on Mizzou's point guard.
We're talking with Brandon Kiley, 101 ESPN in St. Louis, talking Missouri basketball, playing tonight at 5 o'clock against Arkansas, the regular season finale. Not only did Jontay Porter go off for 24 points, he took, as you mentioned, took some of the pressure off Cassius Robertson, who only took 6 shots in the game, didn't have to shoot a lot, handled the ball a lot. And Jordan Barnett, who at times goes up and way down, got in with 17 points, 5 of 11, 4 of 8 from downtown, and pulled out another 6 rebounds. So Jordan Barnett, a guy who also can step up and did step up against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and he's the guy who, when he plays well, it just looks so good because athletically he's got it all. If you look at in terms of just shooting, he's one of the most pure shooters in the country this season from beyond the arc. It looks really sexy when Jordan Barnett is playing at his best. When he's playing at his worst, though, he just completely disappears from the game because he doesn't seem to get involved on the rebounds very often. He's really not a dribbler. That's just not his game. Ball handling in general is not really his game. He's not going to have much in terms of distribution. So his game really is shooting, dunking, and finding a way to make athletic plays at the rim. When that goes well, it looks real good. It's the analytics night, or it's the analytics dream. But when it's not going well, he just doesn't seem to impact the game so much. You mentioned Cassius Robertson, and I want to mention for a moment just how important this kid's been for the team, because we ask a lot, where would Mizzou be without Cassius Robertson?
And it's they'd be in a bad spot,
man.
They'd be in a bad spot.
Would the team even be 500?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like, take Cassius Robertson off the team. Pretend he never came to Mizzou. He transferred elsewhere. What is Missouri's record right now?
Boy, I had not thought about that, but they're definitely not as good as they are right now.
No, I mean, they might be fighting for the NIT.
Right.
There's no way they end up in the NCAA tournament.
And they would have, you know, the win over Vanderbilt was important because they had lost 3 in a row. So then you start getting, you know, a bit edgy about your NCAA tournament prospects.
Right.
But they have not gone through massive losing streaks like the previous 3 seasons. And Cassius Robertson has a lot to do with that.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons why this season he scored in double figures in 25 of his 30 games. He shot better than 30% from beyond the arc, and he's a volume shooter, so this is important. In 23 of his 30 games this season, he leads the SEC in minutes played and conference play. He's played 94% of Mizzou's conference minutes. He's 6th in their true shooting percentage. He's 2nd in the SEC in 3-point field goal percentage. The kid's been arguably one of the top 5 players in the SEC, and you can make an argument for being the best player in the SEC in conference play this year. I can't say enough about what Cassius Robertson has meant for this team. And I mean, like I said, if he's not there, I don't know where this team is. He changed the way this program was going to play this year. He changed the team for 2018, and more importantly, he changed the outlook moving forward, because let's say he doesn't come, and Missouri is battling to be 500 this season. I don't think most Mizzou fans are, like, pissed about that being Konzo Martin's first year, but I don't think they would say that it was a good season. It was just, okay, well, you lost Michael Porter Jr. I get it. That's kind of how this was going to go. But then next year, let's say they don't end up getting much better. They end up around 500 again. Well, now you're going into year 3 of Konzo Martin, and you're saying, was this the right hire? Was this the right guy? Instead of that being the narrative around Konzo Martin, you have a narrative of him being the guy. Cassius Robertson changed that narrative, and now going into year 2, every Mizzou fan will have a little bit of an extra leash for Konzo Martin if next season doesn't go as well as this year did.
All right, we're talking with Brandon Kiley from 101 ESPN in St. Louis. Follow him on Twitter at BK Sports Talk. We're talking Missouri basketball. Michael Porter Jr. will not play tonight against Arkansas. They released a statement from the university earlier today, about 15, 20 minutes ago. All right, so the game tonight against Arkansas. Arkansas might be one of the 2 or 3 hottest teams in America right now. They've won 6 of their last 7 games, got big wins over Texas A&M. They beat Auburn on Tuesday, which was big. Auburn, number 14 in the country. So they've gotten big wins. They're piling up wins. They're moving up in the SEC standings. A chance to get the, I still can't believe I say this, the double bye at the SEC tournament, which is so strange. but a chance for a double bye for Arkansas. This is a huge challenge for Missouri, even though the Tigers are at home and playing relatively good basketball.
Yeah, it is a tough challenge for them. And the biggest reason why is stylistically, Arkansas is just a tough challenge for them. I mean, I know they're playing well, and that's obviously important, but even teams that are playing really well, Mizzou can sometimes stylistically play with them okay if they just if they want to play, let's say, a half-court game and Mizzou's going to go up and down and that's it's going to be a slower pace, slog-it-out game. Mizzou can play those games and they can win against a lot of different teams. Arkansas is not that squad, and I know you know this, but they're going to play stylistically. They've got that 40 minutes of hell.
Right.
They're going to press you. They're going to get up after you. And that's the worst-case scenario for Missouri. Missouri still doesn't do well against the inbound play whenever somebody's trying to pressure their point guards. They have trouble getting it up the court whenever they're trying to get it up in less than 10 seconds. I mean, it's just it's frustrating to watch. We saw this against West Virginia early in the season and knew it was going to be a problem moving forward, and it has been. It's been one of their fatal flaws this season. The thing that they've got going for them is they're at home against Arkansas. And Arkansas is not a great team on the road under Mike Anderson. So if anything's going for Mizzou, that's it. But stylistically, it just doesn't feel like a very good matchup for the Tigers.
And it was the last matchup against Arkansas was 3 weeks ago now. Mizzou had a – I don't say they had the game in their hands, but they had a pretty good lead with about 4.5 minutes to go. And Arkansas was blowing their opportunities. And then this is one of those games where Mizzou had a late-game meltdown and couldn't handle it in the last 30 seconds, and Arkansas escaped with a two-point win. Missouri has still shown an inclination to do that at times. But has Missouri gotten better? Has Konzo Martin got his players better prepared to handle those late-game situations as we get to the end of the regular season and get ready for the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament?
So this is one of those situations where I don't know how much I can put on Konzo. Like, his plays are the same plays that everybody runs in these situations.
Right.
It's a matter of the team executing it. Like, if Missouri had Frank Mason, and I know KU fans are very familiar with him, if Missouri had Frank Mason this year, they'd be fine against the press. He would find a way to get the inbounds pass, and he'd take it up the court, and you'd figure it out, right? Missouri doesn't have that guy. They don't have anybody who you can just you can throw it to him on the inbound, and they find a way to get it up the court. They have Jordan Geist, who has played pretty well for Missouri this year compared to what my expectations were, but he's still not a true point guard, and he still turns the ball over quite a bit at a pretty high rate. They have Cassius Robertson, who is not a true point guard, and so they're just not suited to be able to break this kind of pressure. That's just not what they have personnel-wise as a team. They have a lot of shooters. They have a lot of guys who can beat you underneath, and they really don't have a point guard. So when they go up against a team like Arkansas or like a West Virginia, or when Kentucky went fresh, like Kentucky, it's just tough for them to be able to break that.
Right, we're talking with Brandon Kylie, 101 ESPN in St. Louis, Missouri and Arkansas today at 5 o'clock. No Michael Porter Jr. All right, let me. I don't know if this is a legitimate question or not, but I'll ask it because you get a different temperature reading depending on who you talk to. But is Mizzou, regardless of the result today against Arkansas, absolutely locked for the NCAA tournament? I believe they are. I think they've done enough. They've got enough wins. They perform well. I think they're in. But is there a chance that if they lose to Arkansas, that it puts it at least into question going into the SEC tournament?
So the correct answer, in my opinion, is I think they're pretty much a lock at this point. If I'm going to give a caveat, it is, well, what happens if whoever, let's go with, what happens if Texas wins the Big 12 tournament? A team that's kind of on the bubble, but if they win the Big 12 tournament, certainly they're in. What happens if Ole Miss wins the SEC tournament? And what happens if the team, whoever is in last in the Pac-12, wins the Pac-12 tournament? If a bunch of weird stuff happens and teams who aren't expected to get into the tournament end up winning their bid for their league, maybe Mizzou gets pushed down, right? That's probably the only case that I can make to where Mizzou doesn't get in. But their resume at this point, they have very few bad losses. They have a decent amount of good wins. And because they played in the SEC this year, almost everything they won in the SEC is either a quadrant one or quadrant two win, according to the committee. And that's going to really help their case. So is Mizzou one of the teams that, like, a casual fan would probably expect to be locked into the tournament right now? I don't think so. If you look at just their record of 19-11 and going 9-8 in the SEC, I don't know that a casual fan would look at that and be like, oh, yeah, that's a clear lock. but based on what we're told the committee looks at, sure seems like they should be.
Well, the latest bracketology from Joe Lunardi at ESPN, which is not guarantee anything, but it's fun. I like reading it. I like watching it. About a week and a half ago, he had Mizzou out west with a chance to play Kansas in the second round. The latest bracketology, which came out 2 days ago, March 1st, has Mizzou in the Midwest now as a 9 seed, taking on Virginia Tech, the 8 seed, which got a huge has had a couple of huge wins in the last week or two. And then if Mizzou were to win that, they would match up probably against Xavier, which is a 1 seed. They play those games out in Pittsburgh. So I think they're in a good spot right now regardless, and it should be fun. And I'm excited as someone from here in the Midwest to see Mizzou get back to being in the NCAA tournament because I'm a fan of everybody. All right, Brandon, Kylie, final question. You can agree or disagree. This upcoming week, and including this weekend, the state of Missouri will host the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, the SEC tournament in St. Louis, the MIAA tournament, which is going on this weekend in Kansas City, and also, I'm reminded, the Missouri Valley tournament is in this week. So would you agree that the state of Missouri is the epicenter of college basketball for this week and a half stretch?
Yeah, I think you could certainly make that argument. And the other thing that I would say is that the SEC tournament shouldn't be here in St. Louis. It should be in Nashville. In Kansas City, you guys remember when the Big 12 tournament went to, what was it? Was it Dallas for
yes,
a year?
Yes, I was there.
In like the mid-2000s?
I was there and it stunk. And it went to Oklahoma City too.
It should be in Kansas City.
Right.
The tournament for the Big 12 should be in Kansas City. The tournament for the SEC should be in Nashville. The tournament for the Big 10 should be in a Big 10 city, and in my opinion, it should be in Indianapolis.
It should be not in Madison Square Garden, that's for sure.
It's crazy.
It's
dumb. They pushed their entire season up a week to be able to get it in Madison Square Garden where nobody wanted to go watch the game.
No, it's empty. It's brutal. It's awful.
But, yeah, to answer your question, Missouri, the epicenter for college basketball.
Hey, Brandon, Kylie, I thank you so much for your time. And, again, taking the game tonight, Missouri and Arkansas at 5 o'clock down in Columbia. No Michael Porter Jr., so the storylines, at least part of them, have already been written. So, Brandon, enjoy, and thank you very much, and have a great weekend.
You bet, man. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, that's Brandon Kylie from ESPN 101 in St. Louis. Yeah, the state of Missouri this week. Big 12 tournament, SEC tournament, MIAA tournament. And as Warren Frick from Twitter reminded me, don't forget about the Missouri Valley tournament being in the state of Missouri this weekend. So, got you in there. All right, we will take a quick timeout. Coming up next, we'll flip to the other side of the state line as we'll talk with Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, as they get set to play Oklahoma State, 3 o'clock. Coverage begins here on Sports Radio 810 WHB at noon with Joshua Briscoe and Jayhawk Game Day. This is Sports Saturday. I'm Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB live from the Rally House Studios.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I do like the funky vibe that has been laid down today by Jed Marshall on this Sports Saturday. Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. Big day. It's the final regular season day for the Big 12, the SEC, for most of the conferences across the country. I'm sure I almost said the Big 10 will have games on Sunday, but they will because their tournament is going on right now, which is utterly ridiculous. As I've said before, I make no secret of the fact that I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan. I was born in Iowa, but my family moved to Kansas City when I was about five or six. So I'm a Kansas City guy, but I still root for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And I seriously tried to watch a couple of minutes of that Big Ten tournament. They're playing it at Madison Square Garden in New York City, and it looks awful. The stands are empty. And the commissioner of the Big 12 comes out and says, well, we're trying to establish our footprint in the eastern part of the United States. Okay, Rutgers ain't getting it done.
Hey,
sorry.
Man. Easy. I was born in New Jersey.
Okay. I have a good friend who's from New Jersey. I have lots of friends from New Jersey. My youngest son was over at, I don't want to use any names, but he was over at a friend's house with a bunch of buddies from kind of celebrating their wrapped up basketball season. And the guy went to Rutgers. The dad went to Rutgers. I like Rutgers. I like Rutgers people. I'm just saying, if you think Rutgers is going to draw fans to the Big Ten from the other places in the Big Ten? No, neither is Maryland. Maryland is still a school where I have to look and say, oh, they're in the Big Ten, because it doesn't make sense.
Well, we were trying to kick it around yesterday at lunch. Why we were trying to get the Big Ten game because Michigan was playing. And I was like, I don't know why the conference tournament starts this early, but obviously because they were trying to get it into Madison Square Garden.
Right.
That makes a lot more sense. But
it's also dumb.
The redistricting or redistribution of schools, you know, conference realignment, what have you, to try and get footholds into like New York City,
right,
or Boston or Philadelphia, you're wasting your time.
Now, the Big Ten tournament should be
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis
great.
Or Chicago. Chicago would be great. You're right there with all the teams, except for Rutgers and Maryland. Sorry. We have to take all of our teams and cater to the East Coast of the United States. That's what the Big Ten has said. Our fans from the traditional schools don't matter. We're going to take this tournament to New York City.
Just have the Big 12 tournament in like Pittsburgh because it's close to West Virginia.
Yeah.
That'd be solid. Well,
so all you basketball fans in Ann Arbor and East Lansing and Iowa City and Madison, Wisconsin, and Chicago, the Northwestern fans, you guys just pack up and you make a nice little week trip to New York City, to Madison Square Garden. Makes perfect sense until it doesn't, until you got an empty building and it looks awful on television, but I digress. One final headline note, if you missed it, Missouri basketball, Michael Porter Jr. will not play tonight against Arkansas down in Columbia. So that's the big news of the day. We're going to flip it over to the other side of the state line right now. And actually, we're going to go south. Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, is down in Stillwater for KU and Oklahoma State, a game you can hear live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with all the festivities beginning at noon with Joshua Briscoe on Jayhawk Game Day. Brian Haney, good morning and welcome to the final day of the regular Big 12 season.
Hey, Brad. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How's the weather in Stillwater today?
Beautiful. Feels like March. Best time of the year. Temperatures heat up, so does the action, and hopefully it's a deep run all the way to April.
Well, we know the big news was with Mizzou, with Michael Porter Jr. not playing today, but Kansas should be a full go. Nobody's sitting today. Everybody's good to go?
Everybody's good to go. Coach Self's going to handle this like, you know, you still have a conference race at hand here. He's not going to set out to rest anybody more than he normally would. They want to win the game, obviously, and keep that arrow pointed upward. There's a lot to play for beyond simply, you know, the Big 12 status now that was tucked away outright on Monday. I think for Kansas, you're playing for a chance to be a number one seed for the eighth time in the last 12 years, and they don't want any hiccup or stub-your-toe moment here down the stretch. They want, when the selection committee takes a look at them, not only to see the team with the most impressive road victory slate in the country, but a team that closed out the regular season with six straight wins and potentially even more in Kansas City next week. So that's motivator number one. Motivator number two, Oklahoma State beat these guys. They ruined the 120th year anniversary reunion weekend we had about a month ago, and that was kind of a turning point, cornerstone moment for Bill Self and this particular group, because later that night at a banquet hall there at the Jayhawk Club, the old Alvamar, there was a banquet room of 400 former Jayhawks and their spouses, and then two tables up front of the current team. And Coach Self came after him pretty strong and promised to the other 380 in attendance that had played in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you're not going to see an effort like that again, I promise you. And these guys, we got a lot we can clean up, but it's never going to look like that. And they had one hiccup since, the loss in Waco, otherwise all wins. And we've seen Kansas really start to play their best basketball here down the stretch. So I think that they want to pay back Oklahoma State for that. And then even though Coach Self would never bring this up to the guys, they're well aware of the fact that he is 102-0 in avoiding being swept in Big 12 conference home and homes. He's never been beaten home and home within the same conference season, home and away, basically. So point there is, while that's just a little footnote on his Hall of Fame resume, I think it still means something to his guys, and they'd hate to see that happen at the hands of his alma mater. So there are enough dangling carrots. No, there isn't the same edge that you were playing with last Saturday, obviously, but I think those are enough motivators to keep Kansas at full tilt in terms of energy and focus, and for Bill Self to keep his normal lineup rotation out there. Now, if they get up and they could rest Devontae Graham for a couple of minutes here or there, that'd be great. He's played over 39 minutes a game in league play, so maybe resting him looks like 37 minutes today. But I don't think they set out to do anything different in this particular game.
All right, we're talking with the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney. He's live from Stillwater, where the Jayhawks will play Oklahoma State this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And I'll get to Devontae in a second, but you mentioned Bill Self not being swept by an opponent, home and home in the same season since he's gotten to KU. That is correct. So I had to think about that for a second. But right after, you mentioned Oklahoma State, and right after KU got the win against Texas Tech here last Saturday, there were a lot of media folks tweeting out, Bill Self still hasn't been swept by another Big 12 team. And you know Mick Schaefer from 41 Action News, who always has a good sense of humor, and he says, wait a minute, they got to come to Stillwater on March 3rd. Let's not start counting it yet. So I think you're right. I mean, not only are you playing to avoid that sweep, but we know Bill Self's teams have struggled going down to Stillwater, and you know, Coach Self played there. And so I think you're right. There's a lot of dangling carrots there, including pride. I mean, there's something to be said about playing for pride as well. You've got the accomplishments, but you also have to play for a little bit of pride.
Completely agree. And I think Mick's best tweet of the week, and somebody had to tell me about this one, but apparently he tweeted, congratulations to Oklahoma State and Kansas on their combined 15 straight Big 12 championships, or on combining four the last 15 straight Big 12 championships. I thought that was awesome.
It's not wrong.
But this isn't about Mick. This is about Kansas. As much as Mick would like us to make it about him. He's awesome. Best follow on Twitter, by the way, of anybody I follow. But you're right. The pride factor is there. And for this Kansas team, it's incredible that they're right back where they were a year ago on the one line as Big 12 champs with a week to go, and yet this is a six-loss team heading into the final day of the regular season, not a two-loss team. And they want to play for pride, certainly, and show that while they did go through some doldrums midseason, and while Bill Self was still button-pushing as recently as 2.5 weeks ago, you know, when have you ever seen him in early to mid-February still taking guys out of the starting lineup and trying to motivate guys and all of that? But he got it done. Now, Gerald Vick has dropped back into the pack a little bit these last couple of games. You'd like to see him on an uptick. But I think that some of those motivational ploys earlier in the month of February absolutely did the trick in getting this team to play its best ball down the stretch. Now, Texas, that game on Monday, you know, wasn't anything you're going to send off to the CBE in Kansas City or to Springfield as great Bill Self basketball. But understand, there were a lot of distractions that night. They played from out in front. You didn't quite have the same intensity factor with no Mo Bamba there, and they just kind of played at an arm's distance the whole way. But other than that, you think about the way they played in the last 47 minutes of that back-to-back homestand, West Virginia and Oklahoma. The final 7 minutes versus West Virginia and the full game versus Oklahoma. And then the first 20 minutes in Lubbock, Coach Self said, that's as good as we can execute offensively. Obviously, they held on in the second half, and you know, Devontae Graham has his shining moment, his proudest day, his finest hour as a Jayhawk, and we'll talk more about him in a second, but he just takes over in that second half down the stretch. So all of this in the midst of a five-game winning streak, and you could go back even farther to the win at Hilton, a place where West Virginia, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech had all lost and lost relatively big. And you could say these last 3 weeks has been the best ball they've played all year. So there's a pride factor in keeping that going, a pride factor in not having any type of ho-hum at the end of the schedule because you just want to hit that Selection Sunday and hit Kansas City next week, guns a-blazing, feeling like this is the best ball we played all year. We're the team to beat. Get out of our way. And so I think that's in the minds of a lot of these guys, and so plenty to have them fired up here today, even though 14 straight has already been safely tucked away.
All right, you're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. We're talking with the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, who is in Stillwater for Kansas and Oklahoma State. This afternoon, you can hear that game live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Devontae Graham, you went back to that game in Lubbock against Texas Tech. And I have noticed this for the past probably 3 weeks now, probably since Bill Self came out publicly and started kicking some tails for some guys to get him motivated. But more players are driving to the rack, which they were not doing early on in the season. And that game against Texas Tech, Devontae Graham, to me, looked like he summoned his inner Frank Mason, if that makes sense. Just enforced his will onto the game, made his teammates better, drove to the rack, wouldn't be denied, drew the fouls, got to the free throw line. And that was kind of a, and I think you alluded to this, maybe his signature performance in a Kansas Jayhawks uniform.
Yeah, I think it was. And I think it's his finest hour in his case for Big 12 Player of the Year, in his case to be, you know, a Wooden or Naismith Award winner potentially. And that's not as likely. But the fact that he's right now in the semifinals, that makes him a top 10 player in the country, which means second team All-American, which means that plus Big 12 Player of the Year, he's probably going to go up in the rafters or down the field house. And it can all be traced back to the second half in Lubbock, Texas. I'm a Heisman voter, and when you're voting on the Heisman, you wait for those late-season November performances on the biggest of stages. Who's going to show me something down the stretch to separate himself from the pack? And as that separation started to take place in the league race in mid-February, the final nail in the coffin for Devontae as Player of the Year, the final point to be made and case to be brought home, was that performance in which he would not be denied in Lubbock, number 8 beating number 6 in their house on the day in which Texas Tech basketball got its best publicity ever in the biggest game that building has ever housed. And he goes in there, goes for 26, hits the circus shot where we said a prayer is
unbelievable,
answered to
Devontae, yeah.
Kind of a crowning moment for him. And that was really, to your point of driving the ball and channeling his inner Frank Mason, that was the best we'd seen him do that. Now, he's been driving the ball and getting to the stripe in a very Frank-like fashion really for about two-thirds of this season. You didn't see it a ton back in November, but he started to put his head down and really drive it shortly thereafter. And we've seen his free throw numbers go up really ever since the Syracuse game. And he's a guy that now is, you know, the season attempted, let's see here, he's up to over 150, you know, and so he's been on a steady climb. But the one thing he hasn't done as good a job of, and he'd tell you this, Brad, he's not the finisher at the rim that Frank was.
No.
Or that several have.
Not many people are.
He'll get inside and he won't hit the bunny. He's twisting and contorting and getting around these bigs, but he can't quite finish as well. But he did in that game, and he did from all over the floor in that game. Clutch threes, clutch pull-up Jays, finishing with the English spin off the glass that we talked about on that prayer answered. That was really great to see. And obviously, to your point about guys getting to the stripe more, we have seen that a little bit better for Kansas. Bob Huggins would remind you, they got there 35 times versus West Virginia.
Ask Fran Fraschilla about it.
Devontae's the guy leading the charge in that regard. And I don't want to get up on a soapbox too much here. But put 60 seconds on the clock, and I'll try to give you a compelling case as to why there should be no argument for Devontae as Big 12 Player of the Year. I think most folks that pay attention don't need to hear me say this, because it should be on some level about winning. And when you're in the absence of winning, which is losing, and losing directly correlates with Trae Young shooting, hitting the tank, and a six-game losing streak piles up, a losing 7 of your last 9 stretch piles up, and you drop from a top 5 team in the country to a bottom 3 team in your own league. You go 0-9 from 3 in Lubbock, 3-13 in Lawrence, and all the while your team is taking it on the chin because folks figured out how to guard you. Cumulative stats may be there, and Trae Young's a terrific talent. He absolutely is. He may be the first player to ever lead the nation in scoring and assists in the same year. It's never been done at the D1 level. For that, give him a National Player of the Year award. Not all of them. I don't think he deserves all of them, but he can have one. Give him that, okay? But the National Player of the Year is about November through early March. Big 12 Player of the Year is about those 18 games in January and February, and it has to take into account winning and how your contributions affected the win-loss column. And Devontae's contributions not only affect that and not only affect the offensive end of the floor like Trae, but he plays both ends of the floor, many times doing what he does, matching up opposite of the other team's top perimeter scorer. He's the only guy in the country to be doing what he's doing in points, assists, and steals while averaging under the 3 turnovers per game. There's only 2 guys in Kansas history to amass the totals he's amassed in points, assists, and steals, and their names are Valentine and Heinrich. He is your Big 12 Player of the Year. There is no argument. Bill Self said it best last Saturday after that defining moment in Lubbock. If they don't give it to him, we'll buy him the trophy. We'll get him his own trophy made, a Jayhawk trophy down the street. Yeah, so we'll see. I think the Big 12 coaches see enough to know that if it's truly a front 9 and a back 9, in the Big 12 conference slate, Trae Young was excellent on the front 9. He was 3 under par, but there were double bogeys left and right as he made the turn. And Devontae Graham, though he had some some bumps along the way with some low-efficiency shooting nights. When you look at the total effort expended, a guy that had to redefine and reinvent himself as a senior, being asked to do everything as the instigator and initiator of the offense, not a guy that was the Robin to Frank Mason's Batman and got all these open looks with his shoulders square and his feet set because Frank was so good on the penetrating pitch. Now Devontae has to do all that. And many of his shots are guarded, contested, off balance, and yet he's still helping Kansas win. To me, that's a convincing case. The coaches will get it right. I don't have as much faith in my media brethren, but we'll see coming up on Sunday.
Well, I think roundly people had said after the game, including opposing coaches like Bruce Weber at K-State, said the best team in the Big 12 should also have the best player in the Big 12, and that's where he was thinking in terms of voting. We're talking with Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, KU, finishing the regular season this afternoon at 3 o'clock down in Stillwater against Oklahoma State. The game is live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Brian, two final things for you, and I appreciate you joining us early this morning before you head over to the arena to get ready for the game. Two things for you. Go to Twitter and just search Ochai Agbaji, the kid from Oak Park, who is now committed to the KU basketball program, especially after Friday and Saturday nights, because he has some massive dunks that are a lot of fun to watch and had another one in their playoff game last night. So just search Agbaji and entertain yourself. And the final question for you, and I wasn't going to ask you this, but since you mentioned you're a Heisman voter, at the NFL Combine this week, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback from Louisville, who has won a Heisman, did not follow that up, but he came out and said, "I am a quarterback. Teams should not consider me a wide receiver. I am not going to play wide receiver in the NFL." I agree with him 100%. I don't understand why it's a discussion, but you're a Heisman voter. You've had to vote on these things. Lamar Jackson, NFL quarterback, yes or no?
Yeah, and I think he could be a late first in that regard. I think he's going to have, depending on the situation he's drafted into, a chance to have a great career. So I love it that he's outspoken in that regard. It's wild looking at some of these prominent collegiate quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield, now projected as a top five overall pick. Who would have thought that when he was transferred from Texas Tech because he wasn't assured a starting spot the next year? So it's amazing to see what these guys have made themselves into, and I love it that Lamar has taken that stand. First part of your question, I don't think I can talk about him because I don't think he's officially signed yet, but certainly appreciate
no,
you.
No, I'm just telling you to look at the video. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I can't say his name because I work for the athletic department, but that's really cool, and that's probably all I can say. But excited about everything you asked about. How about that?
That'll work. You got the bases covered there. Hey, Brian, thank you very much. Enjoy the Saturday in Stillwater, and we'll see you in Kansas City next week. You know 810 WHB is going to be down at Power and Light, and I'm sure we'll see you on multiple occasions next week here for the Big 12 tournament.
Last time we were down there, you and me got up on stage.
Yeah.
And had some fun. Let's do it again, my
big
man.
Stage.
And let's stay longer than Thursday night this time.
We'll try to do that. Hey, Brian, thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy. Take
All right.
care.
That is Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. They're playing in Stillwater this afternoon against Oklahoma State. By the way, our coverage gets rolling at noon. Jayhawk game day with Joshua Briscoe. Then at 1:30, the Kansas IMG Network pregame show. At 3 o'clock, KU and Oklahoma State. And then the postgame show to follow. So good stuff there. Lamar Jackson is a quarterback. And Brian can't talk about Ochai Agbaji from Oak Park yet until it's official, which is fine. I'm just, do yourself a favor. If you're a basketball fan, doesn't matter if you're KU, Mizzou, K-State, UMK, whatever. Just go to Twitter and search Agbaje. You can go to the Oak Park website and get the correct spelling, but it's fun stuff to look at. And he had another monster one last night. So anyway, on that note, we will take a quick timeout. Plenty more still to come here on Sports Saturday. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com will join us. Talk about K-State. They're in a spot. How about that? They're in a precarious position right now in terms of the NCAA tournament. So Riley Gates at 11 will join us to talk about that. And then at 11:30, Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards and Sporting KC star defender, will join us as Sporting KC gets ready to open their season Sunday, Children's Mercy Park in KCK, 6 o'clock for the pregame show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and then the game live at 6:30. And the postgame show with Davey B after that. We will take a quick timeout. I'm Brad Porter. This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB, live from the Rally House Studios.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mm-hmm.
right, just a couple of minutes left before the top of the hour. At the top of the hour at 11 o'clock, Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com will join us. I was hoping that song would pick up a little bit. There we go. I like that.
Yeah, you liked this one last week.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law actually asked me about that when we went to dinner on Sunday night. So
I had to wait for it to pick up a little bit. So anyway, Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com at 11 o'clock. And then Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards Sporting KC defender, will join us as Sporting KC gets ready to start their season. All right, a couple of notes since we got a few minutes left. The NFL Combine is going on. They're measuring the 40 time, how many times you can bench at 225, your vertical, all those kinds of things. One funny thing I will direct you to on Twitter, Kendall Gammon, the former long snapper for the Kansas City Chiefs, tweeted out this week his photo from when he went through the NFL Combine. And let's see, I'm not sure what year that was, but they got his picture, offensive lineman Gammon, comma K, Pittsburgh State, misspelled Pittsburgh, by the way. There's no H in Pittsburgh, Kansas. But it's got his picture on there. And Kendall Gammon laughs at himself. He says, once a year for your amusement, fire when ready. Fire your comments away on the photo that he posted. And so my comment was, high marks in the dad bod measurables. That's a dad bod coming out of college. He was drafted in the 11th round. The NFL had 11 rounds when Kendall Gammon came out. And all Kendall Gammon did was play, 15 years in the National Football League. He made a Pro Bowl and was one of the best long snappers ever. The most accurate. In fact, Kendall told me one time, I believe it was Kendall. Please let it be Kendall. Kendall, if you're listening and I'm wrong, correct me. But I believe Kendall Gammon, when he was a player, told me that if you put a stop sign back where the holder was, like on a field goal snap, if you put a stop sign there, he could hit any letter you ask him to. You want me to hit the S? I hit the S. T? Okay. O? Do that. The P at the end? Done. That's accurate. And I think he's about an inch and a half shorter than when he started his career because at that time that the Kendall played, they didn't have the protections in place for long snappers. A guy would just belt you right over the back of your neck and pound you right into the dirt. So Kendall, I think, is a little shorter than he was when he came out for the draft. A couple of notes here from the draft. You can either make very good impressions or you can make poor impressions. So the both sides of the coin here. Orlando Brown, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, Orlando Brown Jr., projected number 12 overall, definitely first round, top 10, top 15 pick. The scouts did not like him. The 225, you have to bench press 225 pounds as many times as you can. He's an offensive lineman that weighs almost 340 pounds. He benched it 14 times. 14 times. Look, that's 14 more times than I could bench press 225 pounds. But
at least he came in overweight.
Overweight.
Ran a 5'8", 40.
5'8", 5 on the 40-yard dash.
Which I could beat. I'm confident. I mean, I could run 40 yards with all the cigarettes I smoke.
I would need a little prep time on that. But if your job is to be an athlete, and he's not paid by the NFL yet, it will be his job. You need 14 reps at 225 and 5'8", 5 in the 40. The other side of that, Saquon Barkley from Penn State, who is a fan of Iowa, he ruined the football game against Iowa because Iowa should have won that game and Saquon Barkley went insane. Saquon Barkley, 29 reps on the 225, a 4.4 in the 40, vertical of 41.5. The scouts tweeted out, stronger than Joe Thomas, quicker than DeSean Jackson, faster than Devin Hester, and jumps higher than Julio Jones. Saquon Barkley about to be a very wealthy man. All right, we are about out of time for this hour. When we come back, Riley Gates will join us talking K-State basketball. Are they into the NCAA tournament, or do they have work to do? My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.